Hi there, it's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. I'm Jerry Usher along with Debbie Giorgiani and you, and we hope that you all had a blessed weekend. We've been praying for you. We pray for you all the time, doesn't stop during the week, and we appreciate your prayers for us. And speaking of prayers, Debbie, we're going to talk about the greatest prayer of all today, and that is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and how we should intentionally prepare to receive Jesus in the Eucharist.
The source and summit of our faith, the Eucharist. Yes, we're going to talk about all about the Eucharist today and see if we can just really get folks super inspired by what we have in the Catholic faith and how amazing it is and how it's a source of all the graces that come to us and through us. I learned that this weekend, Jerry. I was this weekend, you're talking about having a blessed weekend. I had a blessed weekend being one of the speakers at the Cleveland Women's Conference. Over 350 women came to Simply Holy, all about St. Therese of Lisieux, and Mother Gabriella and Brooke Taylor and Taylor Tripodi. I've never heard her sing before. She's got the most amazing voice. I totally love her voice. And we talked about St. Therese of Lisieux and what it means to be, holy in a simplistic way, a very successful way of holiness. And it was wonderful. Great, great weekend. And yeah, the appreciation for the Eucharist, you just gotta love it. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart that only 1/3 of Catholics truly believe in the real presence of the Eucharist. Think about that for a moment, folks. 1/3. That's not a good thing. We have to do more catechesis to get people to understand what exactly they're receiving on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, we want to hear from you today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. If you are in that group, maybe that minority, who you believe fervently in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, call and share what the Eucharist means in your life. And in particular today, we want to talk about preparing to receive the Eucharist properly. And that is an intentional preparation of mind, of heart, of soul, maybe doing some certain kinds of prayers before you go up for communion, Thanksgiving after communion, things like this. Talk about what it means to you to have access to Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, how that is such an important part of your life, and how you want to really try to enter into the mystery and give yourself completely, wholly to Jesus, approaching the sacrament, and then for that Thanksgiving. Here's the number, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986.
Okay, and I have a little assignment for all of our Take Two family, okay? Please, you can pull this up online if you don't have an actual book copy of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, but paragraphs 1322 to 1419, that's almost 100 paragraphs. Now, paragraphs can be as small as one line, so don't think of it like it's so overwhelming. But 1322 to 1419 is all about the sacrament of the Eucharist. It talks deeply about from the very beginning, from when Jesus celebrated the Last Supper and all the way till today, and what it means for us as Catholic Christians. Please take a couple paragraphs at a time. Talk it over with your family. We have to re-catechize everyone. We've got to get that number from 1/3 that believe in the real presence up to 1/2, up to 3/4, and then up to 100%. And that's when we will see true miracles happen in this world. Please, folks, we got to catechize, and it's got to start in the homes. What do you think, Jerry?
Well, I totally agree, and I think that's where part of the breakdown is in, not necessarily in the homes, but in youth religious education and catechesis and so forth, which has left a lot to be desired in the past several decades. But I know a lot of parents, you work so hard to maybe fill in those gaps in your kids' learning at religious ed and CCD and so forth. So that's a beautiful thing, but still, it is really rather shocking when you think of the percentage of people, Catholics, who do not believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. And I suppose a lot of that depends on how those surveys are worded and so forth, but still, it's we must have this. This is the central belief. The Eucharist is the source and summit of our faith, and it is by the words and actions of the priest, empowered by Jesus Christ through holy orders. It is Jesus Himself, His body, blood, soul, and divinity. That's why we keep it reposed in the tabernacle. We bring the Eucharist out and adore it. Debbie, all of these things they're just meaningless unless that is truly Jesus in the Eucharist.
So true, Jerry. And you look at our 15-year-old newest person that's going to become a saint, or he's beatified, so he's on his way to full canonization, Carlo Acutis, who chronicled the Eucharistic miracles, who was in love with the Eucharist since he was, like, I think, age 5, and he lived only 10 more years past that, but just so loved the Eucharist. So he's a blessed right now. He's blessed Carlo Acutis, right? So we're waiting. Are we waiting for one more miracle? Is that what we're waiting for? Because don't you have to have two? So we're waiting for one more, I believe.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. And so my point is that he was so devoted to the Eucharist in his short 15 years. Okay. And we can learn from him. Let's ask him to be a part of this conversation today. And how amazing that is, that he had this deep love at such a young age. And then there's some of us who are 40, 50, 60, 70 years old that are still kind of struggling with, what exactly is this? Is this a piece of bread? Is this wine? You know, we struggle. Not, I don't, but some people do. And I'll tell you, we need to really think deeply about this, because we're missing out. We're missing out on a lot of the graces that are waiting for us in the Eucharist.
Here's the number to be on board. We've got a couple of phone lines still open. 833-288-3986. 833-288-EWTN. Our topic today is the Eucharist, how you really try and prepare your heart as best you can to receive Jesus in the Eucharist, your post-reception Thanksgiving time, that quiet time. And also, we've mentioned, you know, a couple of times here that a large percentage of Catholics do not believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. If you're someone who is confused on this, or you feel you're not, well-informed about it, maybe you have some questions about how or why we believe that Jesus is truly present in the most Holy Eucharist. It would take a long time to get into any kind of depth, but we can share some scripture passages with you. As Debbie said, what the Catechism says, this really has, we need a resurgence. We need an absolute resurgence of love and awe and reverence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. What do you feel about that? 833-288-3986. We come back. Marilyn is up next, right here on Take Two.
Talking about the Eucharist today, and we want you to weigh in and share with everyone that's listening, because we have, you know, thousands and thousands that are listening right now that maybe they are struggling with the Eucharist and how to really understand the theology behind the Eucharist and what it means, and for them, especially the sacrament, the true essence of the sacrament, not just what we go through going through the motions. I'm talking about really deep, and that's why Eucharistic miracles. Carlo Acutis, he listed all the Eucharistic miracles. So did Joan Carol Cruz in the book Eucharistic Miracles. Why did the good Lord have to show himself? Why did he have to let the Eucharist actually turn into a heart muscle and bleed? Why did he have to do that? Because he saw that there's so much doubt among us, and that he had to bring these miracles. And yet, even with these miracles, people still don't believe. Huh, kind of odd, isn't it? Let's talk about it. Real quickly, Jerry, I just have to talk about a powerful weapon that Padre Pio always talks about, the rosary. And EWTN Radio brings you the Holy Rosary twice each day, and it's for over 25 years they've been doing it. See how they want to really get us in love with the rosary? And we should, just like Padre Pio says. Tune in every morning at 5:30 a.m. Eastern for Mother Angelica, and every evening at 9:30 Eastern for Father Benedict Rochelle. Only on EWTN Radio.
Okay. Still a phone line open if you would like to join the conversation and really inspire and edify all those who are listening with your love of the Eucharist. Maybe you've had a very deep, intimate experience with Jesus in the Eucharist. But we also want to hear about if you have any kind of, I don't want to call it a routine, but just a process that you utilize in preparing to receive Jesus at Mass and the Eucharist. And maybe even talk about how some time away from the Eucharist here in these past few months has heightened your hunger to receive Jesus in the body and blood, soul, and divinity at Mass. 833-288-3986. As promised, Mary Lynn is first in Houston, listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Mary Lynn. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi, Jerry and Debbie. I just wanted to share, after we pray the holy, 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 blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest, I believe that's the first time we kneel down as a community. And at the moment that my knees touched the kneeler, out of my mouth came, "Welcome, Holy Spirit." And I thought, and I looked over at my husband. He didn't say it. The ladies next to me, they didn't say it. And then when I looked back at the altar, I heard the priest say, "Let your spirit come upon these gifts, that they should become the body and blood of Christ." And I said, "Yes, welcome, Holy Spirit, welcome, Holy Spirit." So at the moment of consecration, that was the coming of the Holy Spirit. And on the way home, I shared that with my husband. And then the Lord enlightened me and said in my spirit, it was like he spoke and said, "That's the same Holy Spirit that overshadowed the Blessed Virgin Mary. She conceived the baby Jesus. That's the same Holy Spirit that comes down upon the bread and wine, that they would become the body and blood of Christ." And I shared that with my husband. I said, I never put it together. I don't know why. I'm sure I was communicated right, but I mean, you know, catechized correctly, but maybe I didn't get it at that moment. And so there was another time as a child during Mass, I would hear the priest say, "Do this in remembrance of me." And I would even stand on the kneeler. I remember I had to be at least 6 years old. And I would always say inside of myself, but kind of like almost jumping from that kneeler, "What does that mean? What does that mean?" Mm-hmm. Well, until my adulthood, they were at the Sacred Heart Cathedral here in Houston. It was going to be the last Mass before they went to the new Sacred Heart Cathedral. And the original one was going to, you know, be closed for a while. I hope it will, you know, something will happen with that. But I remember always saying during every Mass, "What does that mean? What does that mean? Do this in remembrance of me." And that day, it was like the Lord said, "Remember, this is me." And I said, "Oh." And so when I shared that with a young man who was a seminarian, he said, "Yes." And also he said, "Jesus is saying, when the good thief was on the cross, remember me." When he said, "Remember me," he was telling Jesus, "Put me back together. Remember me." He said, "Like your arm is a part of your body. It's a member of your body. Put me back together with you." I thought, oh, this is beautiful. How the Lord is just, you know, it's so simple and so deep. I mean, my heart just burst open before me, and I was like, you know, inside of me, I was just amazed how the Lord talks to each one of us. And thank you, Jesus, for the gifts of the sacraments, especially confirmation. I never knew I needed it, but I did. So thank you, Jerry, and thank you, Debbie.
Well, Mary Lynn, thank you for listening and for calling and for sharing your heart, which is it is just so in tune with the Holy Trinity, really, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I love your account of when you were young, kind of standing on the kneeler. What is it? What is it? Children have that kind of curiosity and that hunger to know what's going on, stuff that they might learn a little bit later in life as they're taught and catechized and so forth. But you had that zeal to learn and to know at a very young age. And we know from the lives of the saints and so many other people that God, it doesn't matter how old or young a person is, God can still give them precious gifts and experiences like he gave you. And you were talking about, you said, "Welcome the Holy Spirit," or "Hello, Holy Spirit." And the next thing you know, the priest was saying, you know, by the power of the Holy Spirit, making the elements, the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ. So, Debbie, I think Mary Lynn has a very, I would call it a sensitive spirit, a very spiritually sensitive spirit. And she's had a lot of great, beautiful experiences.
I completely agree, and I just wish so many others would have those kinds of personal, really deep experiences with our Lord in the Eucharist, I think we'd have a much better world. And I just pray, Mary Lynn, that you continue to share your story so that others can start to deepen their own faith life. It's available for everybody. You know, that's the beauty of it. You know, we as Catholics, when you receive the sacrament of the Eucharist, that same feeling, Mary Lynn, that you encountered is available for all of us. It's not like, oh, well, it's just going to be, you know, for those that have this really in, you know, real keen sense or is really in tune with the Spirit. You know, if we're in a good place, if we're in a, you know, we receive worthily, you know, we're in a good state of grace. Okay. And we open our eyes and we open our ears and we stay very open in general. Okay. And let that be filled with the Holy Spirit. I think it's amazing. I thank you so much, Mary Lynn. Keep telling your story. It's important. People need to be catechized. Go ahead.
Yeah. And may I just add, ever since that experience on the kneeler, every Mass, I say, come, Holy Spirit, inside of myself. I'm not able to say it out loud. I just wish we all were able to say, you know, yes, come, Holy Spirit, or welcome, Holy Spirit. In Spanish, bienvenido, Espíritu Santo. I mean, it's like someone's coming to visit you. Give them that greeting. So that's what it means to me now. Every time, every Mass, after the Hosanna, blessed is he, I do say, come Holy Spirit, welcome guest. You know, he's coming for us. He wants to be with us. Well, and that's the beauty of the Mass.
Right. And real quickly, may I just add this real fast. My uncle, I talk about him all the time. He's now gone on for his heavenly rewards. Amazing priest. He was the mentor to Father Benedict Rochelle, and he taught in many seminaries. And my uncle helped me write a paper for my graduate studies in theology. And I asked him to help me write this paper on this whole idea of the word memory, because everybody, when they think of memory, they think it's something just like very symbolic. And he helped me bring it back to the original Greek and the original, you know, the original language. And he said, no, he goes, title your paper in this. I remember this so vividly. He said, title your paper, when you do this, you call me back to you. He says that's what's in. Yeah. He said, that's what's in memoriam, in memory. When you do this, you call me back to you. So I did. I titled the paper that, and I got an A. And they said to me, where did you get this idea? I said, it was my uncle, he's a priest. But you know what? The truth of it is that if we can really be very clear about what it means for the Eucharist and what it means for us as receiving and ingesting and taking in the body, blood, soul, and divinity. You know, they say that the angels, and it's true, the angels don't have feelings of envy and jealousy and everything like that. They don't. But I've often heard it said that theologians have said if they could have some kind of feeling of envy or jealousy of us, it would be that we could actually take in the body and blood of Jesus. We could actually consume the body and blood of Jesus. Pretty amazing, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Well, Mary Lynn, thank you. Great phone call to get us started here today. We appreciate you listening to Guadalupe Radio Network, and we hope that you will call again. Our number is 833-288-3986, talking about really one of the most important, if not the most important topic in the world, and that is Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. Have you had any experiences of your own where Jesus really spoke to you while you were giving your thanksgiving after communion, or how do you prepare for receiving communion? Do you have any certain prayers that you pray? Do you show up early for Mass and just really quiet your spirit and say, Holy Spirit, come and remove all distractions so that I can worthily receive Jesus? 833-288-3986.
Where are we going next? Is social media coming in? Because I thought I saw some. Did you see me?
They are. They may be coming in, but they're not quite ready yet.
Okay.
So
we'll go back to the phones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Camille is up next in Weatherfield, Connecticut. You're a first-time caller. Thank you, Camille, and welcome.
Thank you. I enjoy your show a lot.
Thank you.
Bless you.
I attended a retreat for blind people in Stamford, Connecticut, conducted by our retreat master, Father Edward Molansky. And he passed around a monstrance during benediction, and he put our finger in the section where Jesus would be. And there was an actual energy of like an electrical motion right there. I could feel through my finger the presence of Jesus, and others felt the same thing when we shared later with each other. And so I had what I call a tactile transfiguration.
Wow. I've never heard of that being done before, Camille, but I know I've been to a lot of services, Debbie, as well, where the priest, he'll walk throughout the entire congregation and bless certain sections with the monstrance or even individual people and so forth. That can be, Debbie, that can be so very, very powerful. You talk about a personal, intimate, unrepeatable moment that you have with Jesus when he is right there in front of you, and the priest is blessing you with the host, the sacred consecrated host, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. You can't come away from something like that unchanged.
That's correct. And I write these types of experiences in a journal, and I ponder them in my heart like the Blessed Mother did.
Beautiful. Mm.
You know, Camille, I've never really heard that done before, and I think what you were referring to is, I believe it's called the Luna. It's the inner part of the monstrance where the host is positioned. And so you were saying that was not, that didn't have the consecrated host, that just you were just touching the vessel itself, if I got that correct, which is sacred, it's blessed. So, because it has Jesus in it. But I've never heard that done. I've never heard about that being done, but, you were saying, you know, attending a blind, conference for people that are visually impaired. I think that when done, you know, I don't know how that works with, if that's fully accepted or not, but if done in a reverent way, which it sounds like it was, can leave a very deep impact. The reason why I know that is because I remember a lot of high school retreats where the priest would, he would process through the retreatants and with the monstrance, and some kids would feel the urge to reach out and want to touch, and the touch was so important for them. And so I can see, you know, and we are made of our senses, and that's how we grow and learn, and that's how we experience, is through our senses, and that's the beauty of it. And so what a great encounter you had, Camille. Did other people have similar experiences?
Some of us did, yes.
Mm, beautiful. Beautiful. Wow. Well, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, this is the reason why I'm Catholic. I've said this a million times. I said, you know, if the Catholic Church, you know, God forbid, if they ever changed any of the understanding or teaching of the Eucharist, then I'm out as quick as possible, because I'm all about the Eucharist. It's all about the Eucharist for me, always has been. And so for you to have this encounter, I'm so grateful to God that you got this beautiful gift. Actually, it was a gift, Jerry.
I think you're on safe ground, Debbie, regarding the Eucharist. I don't think you'll ever have to leave, because the church changes any teachings on that.
Right.
If nothing else, we were talking early in the show, we have to do more to to teach and learn and share not only the beauty, but the sublime dignity and holiness of what the Eucharist is. Just imagine, Debbie, of those 70% of people, Catholics, who don't believe in the real presence in the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. Imagine if just for a day or for a week, every one of them, every one of us, we not only believed, but we worshiped and we received reverently, and we shared with the world the powerful graces that come through the reception of the Most Blessed Sacrament and the celebration of Masses. Just think of how quickly things can be changed and dramatically in the world, I believe.
Absolutely. There's a picture floating around social media, and I don't know exactly where it's from. I don't think it's from the United States, but there was this beautiful priest, and apparently he was knocked to the ground, and the Eucharist came out of the ciborium, and all you see is, instead of him worrying about himself, he's picking up the Eucharist as fast as possible. And every time I see that, I get filled with tears. God is so good. Let's talk about the Eucharist some more.
You are listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Jerry Usher along with Debbie Giorgiani. And as we always say, and you, and of course the show team, Michael Birchfield, our producer, Jeff Burson handles social media, Ryan Penny, usually on the phones. I'll be corrected if he is not, because Rich Jesse filled in a couple times last week. But we got a great show team, Debbie, and I always want to make a point of mentioning them and everyone at EWTN, because this show would simply never be able to be produced and aired if it weren't for a lot of great people.
Yep, we love the Take Two show team. And even when we're on break, like we were talking about Carlo Acutis. And so we have to ask our Take Two family, do some research, some quick internet research. The fact that he was partially incorrupt, does that count as another miracle, or do they need another outside miracle to have him fully be canonized as a saint? But he is blessed right now. So go ahead, Take Two family, hit the internet while we're doing the show. But can I just do a couple housekeeping real quick, Jerry?
Sure.
If I may. We've got some exciting news. Trustful Surrender is selling like crazy. We love you guys. And we're starting to get the first reviews coming back on Amazon. And guess what? We're getting 5 out of 5. That is so awesome. Thank you, thank you, thank you for buying the book on EWTNRC.com. And thank you for reading it. And thank you for sharing all your comments and emailing us, telling us that you could not put the book down. That's exactly what we wanted to hear. So thank you. So if you're interested about loved ones who have left the faith and you want to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly, go to EWTNRC.com. And one other thing real quickly, if I may, Wednesday starts. I'm working hosting a wonderful pledge drive, AM 1260 The Rock in Cleveland, starting Wednesday. Thursday and Friday. And I know it's pledge drive season, so when your local listening area comes to you, please give generously. But I will be virtually in Cleveland, and I'm super excited because I, Jerry, get to spend some time with the newly installed Bishop Malasek.
Wow.
And yeah, I'm so excited. I get to interview him.
That should be fun.
Yeah, I love interviewing. You know how I love interviewing the bishops.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's nice to see when they support Catholic radio. So I echo what Debbie said. Please be very, very generous when your Catholic station and when EWTN presents to you the need that they have for financial assistance, because all of this takes not just manpower, but money as well. And to pay the bills, keep the lights on, and keep the towers presenting and broadcasting out the signal. So be generous when you are called upon.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Okay, so we're going to move back to the phones. We're going to Fran in Omaha, Nebraska on YouTube. And Fran, we heard from our dear friends Laura and Glenn Sweet, who live in Scribner, Nebraska. You got a snowstorm. Is that true?
Well, it didn't really hit where I live much at all. But there was a little bit of some snow on the ground, and it was just kind of like, wow, already.
No, not yet.
Yeah, exactly. So how are you today?
We're doing well. Thank you so much. What do you think of this topic?
Well, I'm like, okay, Lord, do you want me to call? And I felt like I was to call you. I did have an experience. I was looking in my journal because I had told the person on the line that it was December of 2019, but I believe it was December of 2018, early 2019. I had received several images. I'm, you know, cradle Catholic, and interiorly, I never spoke it out loud, but interiorly, I'm like, yeah, I believe it, but there wasn't, like, you know, this hardcore, like, you know, in me. And I feel like the Lord needed to let me know, as he's guiding me on the call that he's called me to in my life. But I had several images during this time frame, and three of them were of priests on the altar, and they were illuminated. In one of the images, the priest was illuminated, and as he lifted and raised the chalice and the host to the heavens, the Holy Spirit flew out. And I'm like, okay, you know, I understand what you're telling me. And then in another image I had received, I was drinking from the chalice. And I just knew in my heart that the Lord was showing me the truth.
Showing you the truth about what? The Eucharist, Fran?
About the, yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Wow. Wow, fantastic. You mentioned, you know, having that experience of the Holy Spirit when the priest held up the sacred host and the precious blood. And it's well known in Catholic theology and spirituality. I'm not sure it's so well known among, you know, the population that there are angels, there's spiritual activity going on around the altar that we can't see. Just amazing angels there. Debbie, you probably know this much better than I do. Throngs of angels there worshiping the Lord and just crying out to God and giving him glory and honor and praise, things that we can't see because they're, you know, not physically visible to us. But am I right, Debbie, that there's
absolutely
a lot of spiritual activity going on at the altar that we may not be able to see, but we should probably try and inform mm-hmm. ourselves and be aware of it.
During the words of consecration, Fran and Jerry and everyone that's listening, during the words of consecration, a lot of saints have talked about how the whole entire altar area is just crowded, completely crowded with angels. When you think of that, it just, wow. And then when we receive, okay, when we receive and we go back to our pew and we kneel down and we say the prayers, see, this is when I start to cry. Our guardian angels are right next to us, intently staring at us and praying with us as hard as they can. That's what our angels are doing at the time when we receive. That's why I was an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion for many years, and that's why it used to just break my heart. Not that I was making a judgment in any way, shape, or form, but it used to break my heart when I would see people receive and just walk out like they had just, you know, I don't know, just walk out like, okay, I came in for something, now I've got it, now I'm walking out, and they walk to their cars, and I thought, wow, it must be so sad for their angels. Their angels are praying, you know, fervently and deeply, and they're walking and starting up their car and leaving for the day. Anyway, it's not a judgment. It's just, I just felt sad inside. Fran, what do you think?
Oh, I mean, right. I'll be honest, you know, I may have been one of those people. I probably was one of those people years ago. And as I've come into my journey with the Lord, he has shown me so much and just bringing me into realizing who is in front of me. And I heard something beautiful the other day on the radio, and they said, because they weren't really fans of receiving the Eucharist in the hands, but they said they did see someone one time as they received the Eucharist in their hands, they kissed it before they put it in their mouth. Mm. And I thought that's so beautiful. I have done that since.
Right.
And it just, it just really unites me to Jesus even more.
Right. Well, and real quickly, when you think about when we consume the body, blood, soul, and divinity, and we let that enter into our bodies, right? The graces that flow to us, and then ultimately flow through us. Okay, they're transformative. They're transformative for ourselves and for the world. And we have been denied, let's face it, we have been denied that ability to go and receive the Eucharist since March. Okay, look at the damage that has been done in this world from March until now, October. Look at it. It's chaos. It's crazy. I mean, what happened just this past weekend in Seattle? Some guy ran towards a police car and stuck a lit, I don't know, broom handle or something in it. It was all lit and threw it into the police car. What are we talking about? This isn't civility. This isn't dignity. This is chaos. And I personally believe it's because we have been denied the ability to receive those graces in us and through us. And so that's just that. And I've talked to a lot of people who feel the same way, a lot of religious demonologists and a lot of priests and theologians, and they all feel the same way. And I just tell you, we got to get back. And somebody, a wonderful gal from a radio station just said to me this morning, she says, we don't worship a virtual Jesus. Right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Right. Yes. My husband, he's a Eucharistic minister, and he just took communion to an elderly gentleman who has not had communion since March. And he went over there yesterday, and he was just so, my husband was so happy to be able to do it for him. And just the gentleman was really happy after. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He won't go to Mass because he's elderly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah, I remember the first mass I attended after several months, actually. You know, this get me a little bit emotional, Debbie, like you often, you know, tear up a little bit. I did cry when I received the Eucharist again, and I thought, oh, what a horrible loss, what an absence this has been. And I hope and pray that, you know, anyone who was away from the Eucharist for any length of time, that would be how we all approach it once we have access to it again, with deep, deep gratitude, love, reverence, mm-hmm. adoring Jesus. And let us pray for those who may not have had that fervor for the Eucharist, and then they were away from Mass for a while. Let's hope that they go back, and maybe Jesus, Debbie, will give them perhaps a special grace to also have that fervor, because we need to receive Jesus that way. And I agree with you and the people you've talked to. You know, the world has been starving for many, many graces. We got kind of a perfect storm. We have chaos, anarchy, political strife, all things going on, and then pandemic. You take God out of that even further. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not going to be a pretty picture.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing too, let's remember that you know, there's wonderful prayers we can say if we don't feel, you know, totally that we can do it on our own spontaneously. I love the Padre Pio after communion prayer. Stay with it. Every line is, stay mm-hmm. with me, Lord. Stay with me, Lord. Stay with me, Lord. Over and over again. And what does that do? It deepens our understanding. It helps us experience the Eucharist in a way that we couldn't do otherwise, you know, because we must get into that disposition in order to receive. And when we receive properly, the fruits of that are they unfold for us. They come alive for us. It's so amazing. Daily communion, absolutely. If you can go to Mass on a daily basis, please do so. It's a spiritual game changer, wouldn't you say, Fran?
Oh, yes, and I was just regarding the Padre Pio prayer. I started saying that, and it does. It unites you to Jesus in just such a heart-filled, deep love.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Great call. Yes, thank you so much.
Hmm? Yeah, thanks, Fran.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Have a blessed day. Take two with Jerry and Debbie. We are going to get to as many of your calls as we can, talking about the Eucharist today and its importance in our lives, any experiences where God has truly blessed you in a special, particular way when you receive the Eucharist, and just really how you prepare for and then give thanksgiving for your reception of the Eucharist. 833-288-3986. Terry is in Plano, Texas, listening also on Guadalupe Radio. Terry, welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Yes, thank you very much. I wanted to share about an experience where I was in difficulty because of a family reunion planned up in the north, and my brother from Georgia had already made tickets, and it was canceled at the last moment, trying to reach family members up there, see if we could arrange something else so he'd have a reason to be there, and I was going to meet him up there and couldn't reach anybody, and down to the wire, and the next day, so this was on Saturday, the next day I went to Mass in the morning, received Holy Communion, and normally I begin my little prayers. Instead, I couldn't even do that. My whole experience was shattered with the words, trust me, trust me. And so that's what I was like, God, you're really there. You really are in the Eucharist, was the first reaction. And so he just filled me with that love and that trust. And I walked outside of Mass and said to my husband, I've been given a great grace. And so what happened is the trip went off. My cousin called at the last minute, said we could all come. Trip went off beautifully. I got to go to the gravesite of my cousin who had died many years before. I got to go through my grandmother's house, which was on a different property owned by a different owner. Just some amazing things happened while I was there. And then since then, that gift of trust has continued with me as recently about this past spring. So that was a couple years ago that event happened in receiving communion, but this past spring I was diagnosed, or just they discovered I had lumps in my breasts, and I went for further exams, and I was told I had to wait 2 weeks to get in to get the scans and everything, and they came in and they said, there are no tumors. There's nothing there. And so he's just continued to walk me through with the pandemic, with everything. He's just sealed that within me, that deep trust, and I'm ever so grateful to him.
Oh, and we are grateful as well, and we'll continue to pray that everything continues to go well for you, Terry. But you know, it's all about trust. It's all about trust with God. And if the sooner we learn that, the better off our lives will be. And I'm so grateful to God that you had this incredible encounter and this understanding of trust in Him. And I think it's wonderful. And you know, because of your call, it jogged a memory in me with the teens again, because you know, when do we form, you know, our youth, right? When they're young, and when they're in elementary school, junior high, and high school, and the teens love to go on retreats, and it's usually always centered around the Eucharist. And you made me think of this, Terry, about trust. And I remember the teens one time saying, you know, how do we really know that God is with us? You know, when you said you're really there, you know, how do we really know that God is with us? And we said to them, do this. Since we know that in Eucharistic miracles, God shows Himself through the myocardium, the heart muscle, right? When you receive the Eucharist, put your two hands over your heart, because it's a heart-to-heart connection. God shows Himself in the heart muscle, not a different part of the body, the heart muscle. So put your hands on your heart when you receive, instead of making the prayer hands, right? And when teens did that, Terry, people, they couldn't stop crying, because they made the connection heart to heart. And they really knew that God was there for them.
And that's what we need in our time. And it goes along with the prayer of trust, mm-hmm. the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Jesus, I trust in Thee. And He's really impressed upon me, really helped me understand what it means to say, Thy will be done. And because if you can grasp that Jesus' will is the best thing for you, because He's the creator of the universe, and anything that opposes His will is not going to bring you true happiness. If you can get that connection along with what you were talking about, and that He's truly present in the Eucharist, then you have nothing to fear, because you can say, Jesus, I trust in Thee, Thy will be done. Mm-hmm. You know, have mercy mm-hmm. on me. And that has given me such consolation and joy that I don't, even though we're going through these tough times, I'm going, wow, Lord, I know You're in charge and You have the best plan.
Well, and Carol and Debbie, I've heard stories of this, maybe you two have as well, of even animals recognizing the presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And I did just a quick online search, and apparently in 1995, Pope St. John Paul II was scheduled to visit St. Mary's Seminary in Baltimore, and they had these highly trained dogs that went into all the classrooms and the offices and everything, and they did all the sniffing, nothing. They just kind of walked out along their way. And when they got to a side chapel where there was a tabernacle, upon reaching the tabernacle, the dogs sniffed and whined and pointed, refusing to leave. They remained there, their attention riveted on the tabernacle, until they were called by their handlers. They found a real living person in the chapel. Mm-hmm. I'm just reading from a little bit of a story here. St. Anthony has Padua has mm-hmm. a similar story as well. So
and babies as well. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of stories of babies and their mothers are holding them. And the moment that the consecration happens, the babies find a way to somehow turn their bodies and look towards the altar. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Yeah. But what does that show you? The innocence of those wonderful creatures, right? The innocence can recognize the truth. We, as we get older and we have more things that are staining us and tarnishing us and the sinfulness, it gets clouded. So we have to clear the path. We have to clear it. And that's done through the sacraments, a constant, reception of the sacraments, right? Right, Terry? Thank you so much. We appreciate the call today. This really helped. This was, mm-hmm. I really believe it was Holy Spirit inspired, Terry, that you called. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks, Terry. We are going to get to what might be our final call in a minute, but I want to, the verse just came to me, let the little ones come unto me, Jesus right. said, you know, and mm-hmm. you're right. They have that innocence, that purity. They have not been jaded like the rest of us. in so many unfortunate ways. But I have to mention real quickly that EWTN offers Holy Mass, speaking of Holy Mass in the Eucharist, from Our Lady of the Angels Chapel every morning at 8 a.m. right here on many of these same EWTN stations, and every 2 hours on EWTN Radio Essentials. Today's celebrant was Father John Paul Mary. We love him and his homily. Father discusses the first saints of North America who were martyred. So tune in for the Holy Mass, 8 a.m. Eastern Time on many of these same EWTN radio stations.
I thought about that this morning, about the North American martyrs, Jerry, and we went to the shrine, and I think about that so many times, and now today is the day. Real quickly, Jerry, please, folks, please go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraphs 1322 to 1419. Take a paragraph at a time with your family and catechize the entire family again about what the Eucharist is for all of us. Okay, Carol, in Hendersonville, Tennessee, listening on the EWTN app. Hi, Carol. Thanks for waiting, and welcome to Take Two.
Hi, thank you for having me on. I wanted to share about my mother. She was 90 years old when she came into the church, and she had lived with me for 10 years and had lots and lots and lots of questions. We had come from a Protestant background that was very antagonistic to the Catholic faith, but she, you know, never fully understood some of the things, maybe like the rosary or what, but the most important thing, she knew and loved receiving Jesus. And every time she did, she just, I don't really know how to explain it. She had this special kind of glow. And when you were talking, Debbie, about heart to heart, maybe that's a good way to explain how my mom received, because it meant so much to her, and she was so grateful and so happy every time she could receive Jesus. And she passed away 5 years ago, and I'm so very, very thankful that she, you know, came into the church before she passed away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Carol, as you're talking, immediately my mind went to, I think it's Matthew chapter 20, where the workers, or the, some workers who work the whole day, some come in at noon, some come in a little bit later in the afternoon, some come in at the very end of the day, and the father, the guy who's employing them all, gives them all the exact same pay. And here's a beautiful testament to that. Your mother, it was late in her life. She did finally, praise God, come into the fullness of the faith in the Catholic Church, not to judge in any way what her soul was before that. But Jesus wanted her so much to be prepared for heaven in a manner of having received his flesh and blood here on earth. And so what a tremendously beautiful gift, Debbie. God is so good to people. We need to trust God more for our loved ones, especially near the end of their lives. God wants them to be so close to him and united with him, and you know, to be he blesses them tremendously late in
absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely. And I know it's hard when we lose our loved ones, especially our parents, right? It's very hard, but you know, we should send them off with the sacraments and know that they're in great hands, and their guardian angels are right with them, and they're going to the feast. And it's a beautiful thing, and it's a family reunion for them. You know, for us, we're stuck here, right? We're still here. You know, this is something we have to work through here. But for them, they're going off into a beautiful place in existence. And it's a wonderful thing. And we take comfort in that. That's the beauty of our Catholic Church, does it so well. Our church sends off our loved ones in such an incredible way. Just go to a couple funeral masses that are not somebody that you're close to, because when you're close to it, your emotions are taking over. But when you go to a person that you didn't know that well, go to a funeral mass, a Catholic funeral mass, and see how beautiful it is, how we send off these wonderful souls, these baptized souls. Carol, thank you so much. Beautiful call today. Thank you for gracing this conversation. I could talk about the Eucharist all day long, Jerry, as you know. It's everything. and should be for all of us. And we just need to bring it back into our homes and you know, re-catechize, guys. It's so good. I read the catechism all the time. You know, it's like, it's similar to the Bible, that you read it and you go, wow, I didn't catch that the first time or the second or the third time. And you learn and grow, right, Jerry?
It's very eye-opening and very edifying. Yeah, please, folks, if you don't have a copy of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, do get one. And as Debbie said, it's similar to the Bible in how it just pops off the pages sometimes. Obviously, the sacred scriptures stand alone. And we encourage you to have a Bible on your nightstand in your bedroom and a catechism there, or maybe in your den or something. We can re-catechize ourselves in a lot of ways, Debbie, I think, if we've had deficient catechism.
Absolutely. It's start today, folks. Start today. Tomorrow we have a special broadcast for you with Father Cedric Pisania. It's an amazing discussion we have tomorrow. Until then, we want to wish you a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you real soon.